The epistle to be read for Trinity Sunday is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God, how incomprehensible are his judgments and how unsearchable his ways. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and recompense shall be made him? For of him, and by him, and in him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 28. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "All power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning, my dear friends, I would like to begin by telling you a true story about a bishop, a pine tree, and the sign of the cross. The bishop was St. Martin of Tours. St. Martin, whose feast day is celebrated each year on November the 11th, was consecrated bishop of the city of Tours in what is now France, in the year 372. He is best known by Catholic people as the Roman soldier who cut his cloak in half on a cold winter's day and gave half to an old, poorly clad beggar. And that night, our divine Savior appeared to him in a vision and was wearing the cloak and saying, "Martin, clothe me with this." But when he was consecrated bishop, there were still many people in the north of France who were pagan, who worshipped idols, despite the fact that the majority were indeed Christians. Now, one of the pagan practices still being done at his time was the adoration of a certain pine tree. St. Martin wanted to cut down this pine tree and show the people that there was really nothing special about it, that it was just another pine tree. But the pagan people objected. They objected in their fear of what might happen. After lengthy arguments between themselves and St. Martin, they came to an agreement. They would cut down the pine tree on one condition, that St. Martin would stand under it when it fell. They wanted to see just how much confidence St. Martin had in this God whom he preached as the one true God. St. Martin readily agreed. A day was appointed, and he boldly took the side of the tree to which it was already leaning. Now, some of his disciples and priests did not share his confidence. They thought this was the end of him, even as they besought him, "Don't do this." But St. Martin stood there in the path of a soon-to-be-falling tree as the people hacked away. And as the tree began to fall towards the saint, he calmly and confidently made the sign of the cross towards it. And as he did, the pine tree, as if blown by a gust of wind, swiftly swung and fell the other way. And on that day, just like the first Pentecost Sunday, hundreds and thousands of people were converted and became devout Catholics. Today, my dear friends, is the great feast of the Holy Trinity. We celebrate this feast each year following Pentecost. It is the feast of the three divine persons. And of all the prayers and all the practices that we do to honor the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, did you know that the simplest and yet the most profound is the sign of the cross? That is, making the sign of the cross upon ourselves as we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is indeed the simplest and most easily learned prayer honoring the three divine persons. And at the same time, it is also a holy, we often forget that, it is a holy thing. And this sign of the cross is a holy outward expression of the most sublime truth that God has ever made known to us. And this most sublime truth that God has ever revealed is that there are three persons in one God. Three equally yet really distinct persons, but one in their divine nature. Three persons in one God. Had God not revealed this, the greatest of the mysteries of faith, no man could ever have known it. And since it is revelation, since it has been revealed, how many saints, how many theologians in these past 2,000 years have tried in vain to fathom this mystery? And yet, the simplest person, a small child, can give honor, can give praise to the most blessed Trinity by making the sign of the cross and saying those blessed words in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You see, my dear friends, when we make the sign of the cross, we profess the most important mysteries of our Catholic faith, the Blessed Trinity and the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. By uniting all three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost under one name, we profess our belief in the unity of God and the Trinity of divine persons. And in making the sign of the cross upon ourselves, we profess that the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is true God and true man, died for us upon the cross. The Catholic Church has from time immemorial held the sign of the cross in great honor. It is repeated over and over again in the Mass, in the administration of the sacraments, and the various blessings and consecrations. We are baptized with the sign of the cross. We are absolved from our sins with the sign of the cross. Before we receive Holy Communion, a sign of the cross is made over us by the priest. And in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, over and over does the priest and the faithful make the sign of the cross. Did you know at Vatican II, in the discussions on the holy sacrifice of the Mass, some of the theologians raised the question, there are too many signs of the crosses made during Mass. And thus in the new Mass, they cut them almost all out. They threw away the sign of the cross. It had already begun in their changes before the new Mass. But they got rid of the sign of the cross. And you know why they did? Because the sign of the cross is offensive to non-Catholics, to Protestants in particular. They are offended by it. And if there was going to be an ecumenical movement with false and non-Catholic churches, the sign of the cross had to go. This practice of making the sign of the cross and praying those blessed words is so ancient, no one really knows for sure when it began. And thus, it has always been held that making the sign of the cross and saying those words in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost was introduced by the apostles themselves. Now we today, for the most part, will probably not find ourselves in a situation like St. Martin, using the sign of the cross in a miraculous way. That was a special grace. That was an extraordinary grace and inspiration that God gave to St. Martin for the conversion of those people. But you know, my dear friends, every day we are in need of the blessings from God and His protection. And perhaps in these last recent months and these last few weeks, how we are in need of God's protection. The sign of the cross is not an empty ceremony, nor was it reserved for miraculous events such as that of St. Martin. But it is itself a blessing and a powerful prayer to obtain God's protection and His blessings upon us. And especially that divine protection in time of temptation. Every day from the moment we rise to the moment we are asleep, we are often engaged in continual battle with temptations. Temptations to impatience, temptations against charity, temptations to anger, temptations to impurity. And this is so because our struggle is not, as St. Paul said, against flesh and blood. But our struggle, our war, is against principalities and powers. As the apostle said, it's against the rulers of the world of darkness. And the sign of the cross puts the devil to flight and strengthens us against temptations. St. Augustine himself once said that even to remember the cross of Christ is enough to put our hellish foe to flight and to give us strength to resist his temptations. And again, whether those temptations are against purity, whether they are temptations to become angry, and there are a lot of temptations out there today to make us angry, or temptations to become impatient, to become sad. How many Catholics today, sadly, do not make use of the sign of the cross? Or what is perhaps in a certain sense worse, how many Catholics do use the sign of the cross, but they do it out of mere habit, And some even make the sign of the cross irreverently or in an unbecoming manner. Let us, my dear friends, who have the one true faith and who know what the sign of the cross is, let us use it frequently, but with the utmost reverence and attention. Honoring the three divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and acknowledging our belief in the great mysteries contained in this simple yet most sublime practice. May we never as well be afraid to make this holy sign in public. For I know myself, years ago, there was always a certain trepidation and fear. Before I was in the seminary, there was a certain trepidation and fear to make the sign of the cross in public. What will people think? And yet how often I have seen it. In fact, not too long ago in Washington Dulles Airport, I was passing through. And there in the gate area, in a crowd of people, a certain Muslim man pulled out a carpet, put it on the in the floor of the gate area, and began his prayers towards Mecca. He was not afraid. Why are they not afraid? But we can be so afraid at times to make the sign of the cross in public. Let us not, my dear friends, be afraid, but let us make that sign of the cross with the utmost confidence. Make then the sign of the cross every morning at the moment you rise from sleep. Ask God to bless you and the works and undertakings of the day. Make the sign of the cross throughout the day before you begin your work, before you begin to drive the car, before you begin a study, before you eat your meals. Make the sign of the cross every evening before you turn in for the night. Ask God for his protection. And make the sign of the cross before your prayers with attention and devotion in order that you be less distracted in praying. And finally, and most especially, make the sign of the cross in time of temptation and put the devil to flight. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.